I want to talk to you today about the importance of what we just practiced, which is honor. Listen, we live in a culture that is increasingly becoming dishonoring. I mean, it doesn't matter where you turn or where you pay attention. If you look long enough, you're going to see something that's incredibly dishonoring. Now, if we expect culture to lead us to be any different, then we are foolish. If we look to celebrities to create the pathway to learn how we can now be more honoring to one another, then we're going to be disappointed. It doesn't matter who you vote for. If you look to the White House to get your cues on how to be honoring, then you're in for a disappointment. We've got to find God's description and God's coaching about how to be honoring from the strength of His Word. If we're going to change the behavior of being dishonoring, it's got to come from conviction. And conviction's going to come from the strength of God saying, this is the pathway for you. So today, in the time we have remaining, I want to take what we've experienced with our first responder families, and I want to teach you the lesson of honor. And I think this might just be one of the top two or three things God will show you in 2020. It's this important. In fact, I would say God teaching me on the principle of honor is definitely in my top five for life. That critical and that important. So we want to talk about just how to understand, but more importantly, how to practice honor. And here's the deal. The more you learn how to understand and practice honor, the more, listen, you will free up the flow of God's favor in your life. I don't know of anybody that says, I've had enough favor. I've had enough blessing. If anything, we're saying, man, can you help me open the floodgate so that God can just release blessing upon blessing in my life, in my family, in what I'm called to? We look for God's hand to bless us. Well, what you're about to learn in terms of honor might be one of the most important things you learn about freeing up the hand of God to flow favor in your direction. Honor. It's just that important. In fact, it's so important. If you don't learn the lesson of honor, you might just close the hand of God from showing blessing in your life. Honor. One of the most interesting places to learn about honor is found in the life and times of Jesus as he is ministering. There is a passage of scripture in Mark chapter 9 that's perhaps one of the most perplexing verses in all the Bible. Like this one verse makes you just go, what? It's crazy. Jesus is ministering in the region of Galilee. He's traveling city to city, town to town, village to village. And as he's traveling, he's ministering. And we read in the New Testament, there are incredible things that are happening as Jesus is ministering. People are being healed. Lives are being changed. Dead folk getting up out of the grave. Just incredible, miraculous outflow of God's power through the works of Jesus. And then we read in Mark 6 that Jesus pivots in his direction towards his own hometown. Now, you know, if Jesus has been traveling, kind of like, think West Texas. He's been traveling around West Texas doing miracles. And now let's say Lubbock's his hometown. You know, as he turns his face to come to Lubbock, he wants to do miracles in Lubbock more than any other place because he knows it the best. He knows where the sick folk live. He knows the issues and the stories of that town. Why? Because he grew up there. If there's any place Jesus wants to work miraculous things, it's in his hometown of Nazareth. And yet, we read when Jesus came to Nazareth, his hometown, he could not do any miracles there. Now, folks, notice it doesn't say he would not. He chose not. What does it say? He could not work many miracles there. How come? Were there no sick folk there? Oh, no, no, no. There are lots of sick folk. The reason that he couldn't is because no one took him serious there. No one believed in him. No one welcomed him. Listen to this. No one honored him as a prophet of God who could do the works of God. In fact, the Bible says they scoffed. Ha! What? Jesus going to come work miracles? Hey, isn't that Mary's baby boy? And then Jesus lamented this. Look at it. A prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own family. There's a miracle need in Nazareth, but there's no miracle flow. There's no favor. There's no blessing coming into that place. Why? Because there was no honor set toward Jesus. No one received him. No one believed in him. No one even thought that this would be a conduit through which God would do something in their life. They completely dishonored him. And in dishonoring him, they stopped the flow of God's miracle power in Nazareth. Which kind of begs the question. I wonder how many miracles that Jesus wants to do in our home or in our hood or in our business or our school. I wonder how many things God wants to do gets stopped because of our dishonor. For just a minute, I want us to learn from what we practice today. Honoring our first responders. And I want you to learn the principle, so much so that here's my hope, that you and I both can walk out of the house today with an ambition and a game plan to go practice honor. Okay? Now, the place that we can find in the Bible that just spells out the principle of honor the cleanest and the easiest is found in an Old Testament passage, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, that's not an easy place to find in your Bible, so there is no condemnation for turning to the old table of contents. You look up 1 Samuel, you get a page number, you turn right to it. If you're on your phone, you can go to BibleGateway.com, type in 1 Samuel. It'll give you the passage. I think there's a value. We're going to put it on the screen, but I really think there's a value you knowing where this is in your Bible. Because I think you might want to go back and read this again in the future. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 introduces us to Eli and his sons. Eli is a priest, and in that day and time, if you were the son of a priest, guess what? You just got drafted into the priestly business. All right? It's a family business. Now, sons of Eli, look at this. They were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord or for their duties as priests. This word for respect, many say that could be like regard. Even some translations will use the word honor. They had no honor for the Lord. They had no honor for their duties as priests. If you read the rest of that section of scripture, it starts to kind of detail out some of the things they were doing that was dishonorable. And then you get to verse 30, and this is the pronouncement that comes from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priest, but I need to tell you something. Some of you are banking on just being blessed because you're a priest. But let me say something to you. I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. So the honor principle is very easy. If we honor God, then he will honor us. If we honor God, then he will honor us. Let's just say it together. If we honor God, then he will honor us. Okay, tell everybody else in the room. Come on, get in on this. All right, you ready? If we honor God, then he will honor us. Yeah, the word honor means to have, you know, respect and regard for something or someone. You hold them in your mind, in your thoughts, in your heart affectionately. You just think the world of them. But you don't just think of them, then you also act in a way that shows them value. So you have high regard, but then you also show value. Now I want you to think of someone that would fit in the category of what you would think is like, that's an honorable person. I honor them. All right? Get somebody in your mind. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a coworker, a teacher. Just think of somebody right now in your mind that, man, I honor them. When you hold them in that high regard in your heart, honoring them means you think of them that way, but then you also move to kind of act and show them value. That's honor. People we think a lot of. Several years ago, we were attending a family gathering that we were invited to. It was not our family, it was another family, but they invited us into it. It was a wedding. And their son was getting married. And there was going to be a celebrity at this wedding. Now, just for some backstory, so my very best friend in all the world, he kind of grew up and raised his family next door to, that's Oklahoma talk, you know, it's like 2 miles away, but next door to Carrie Underwood. So their kids grew up together. In fact, his son was in Carrie's wedding. So we're going to go to Jordan, his son's wedding, and Carrie's going to be there. So I coached my kids. Here's the thing. You've seen her before. In fact, even before she was Carrie Underwood, you've seen this little blonde-haired girl running around. This is no big deal. And we're not going to lose our mind. There's not going to be any selfies. Not going to be any autographs. We're not going to do anything stupid, all right? Everybody else can behave that way. We're not going to behave that way. We got it? Yeah, understand, Dad. Clear. Absolutely clear. We go to the event. They do good. Everybody else is acting a fool. And they're just kind of standing back, and because we're here to honor Jordan and his wife. That's why we're here. We're here to honor them. And so my little kids are just, they are on point. I'm like, not chilling. But then, at that time, Carrie was dating Tony Romo, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He came rolling up. He was 5.0. A few people were there yesterday. Anyway, ice, baby. Anyway, he came rolling up, got out of the car, walks in. And now my kids, who have been cool, collect, lost their mind. Tony picks her up and walks her out to the car. This is no exaggeration. My kids break and run and chase them. By the time my kids get out the door, they are in the car driving, and they are running down the parking lot of the church chasing the car. And I go running after them. They have lost their mind. I finally catch them. And first of all, I'm thinking, what were you expecting? If you caught the car, what's going to happen? No, we don't know. What are you doing? We talked about this very thing. We said we're not going to lose our mind. Yeah, but Dad, you talked about, you didn't say anything about Tony Romo. He's a star. He's like the Cowboys. He's a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. I said, you know what? You know who I know? No. I know the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and I talk to him every day. And my third one looked up at me and went, "You know Elvis?" Jesus? And she looked at me and went, "Oh, yeah." So honor has to start with someone that you kind of hold in your mind and heart as being like, that's that, man, that's an honorable person. And then you move yourself in the direction toward action. Now, the Bible says, if you honor me, then I will honor you. But watch the back end of this verse. Let's put it up again. And I will, look at this, I will despise those who think lightly of me. Y'all, that's strong. Despise. You know what the word despise means? It means literally to take no notice of, to pay no attention to. To pay no mind to. Let me ask you this question. How many of you want God to pay attention to you? How many of you want God to take note of you, take note of your family? Yeah. Well, then we need to honor the Lord. We don't want to dishonor the Lord. We don't want to think lightly of him. Now, everybody in the room up to this point is going, "Whoo, I'm glad that's not me, because I don't ever like think lightly like that of the Lord. I don't take the Lord's name in vain. I read my Bible. I go to church. I'm not dissing on the Lord." And so we kind of give ourselves a pass on thinking lightly of dishonoring the Lord. Well, maybe there's a whole different way we need to think about whether we're honoring or dishonoring the Lord. In fact, I want you to listen to this. Honoring or dishonoring God, listen, has a lot to do with how we deal with the people God has put in our life. In fact, we're going to talk about this. It's a great way to remember this. A chain of honor. A chain of honor. See, there is a chain of honor that's invisible, but it links us from the people God's put in our life all the way back to Father God and how we treat the people he's put in our life has a lot to do with whether we dishonor or honor the Lord. Jesus kind of gave this whole idea of the chain of honor some perspective when he sent out his disciples. When he sent them on mission, this is what he said to them. Matthew 10:40. "Anyone who receives you receives me." Look at that. "And anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me." All right? First of all, that's a 10, not a 19, all right? I got rebuked after the first service in Jesus' name. But anyway, I appreciated it. I really did, because I don't want anybody to get that wrong. Matthew 10:40. So notice this, anyone who receives you receives me. Anyone who receives me, look at that, receives the Father who sent me. The word receives, theologians said that word is the word regard. It's the word esteem. It's the word honor. Anybody who honors you honors me. And anybody who honors me honors the Father. And if you honor the Father, it moves the Father to take the blessing in his heart and put it in his hand and make it accessible to us. Now, that chain of honor is so important to grasp because a lot of us want to break the chain. I'm good with honoring the people that I like. The people I like that you've sent. The people that I think are honorable that you've put in. I'm good with honoring those folks. But in terms of some of the folks that are wackadoodle-doo, I'm not down with that. or the people that are dishonorable. I'm not down with that. Friend, listen, you don't get to break the chain. We have to learn to honor the people that Jesus has sent into our life. And when we honor the people Jesus has sent into our life, we're honoring Jesus. And when we honor Jesus, we honor the Father. When we honor the Father, it moves what's in his heart into his hand. You can't break the chain. Good church folk come up in here every week and they break the chain. Because there's lots of people in this realm that Jesus has put in your life you're not down with, but you love you some Jesus. And we're over here in this space, we're going to love us some Jesus, but the people, not so much. We can't break the chain. In the book of James, we read this statement. Sometimes it praises our Lord. By it, he means just what we do with our life, what we say. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. Sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing will come out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. If you want to be aligned with the blessing of God, if you want to open the favor portals of God, then you've got to learn to practice honor. And honor is all about linking the people that have been sent into your life by Jesus and honoring them so it honors him. And in honoring him, we honor the Father. That's the alignment that you're looking for. And that's the alignment that will only be true when you get your cadence from God. Because if you get your cadence on whether you're going to have, you know, honor or not from the culture, you're going to slip into dishonor. Back in 2012, think of that, 8 years ago, USA Today issued a report. This is USA Today, not the most conservative of news outlets, who issued a report that they called The Rapid Degeneration of Cultural Courtesy. Here's what the article stated. There's a coarsening of the culture by people who are now willing to say things to each other that a decade ago could not, would not say in a face-to-face dialogue. Isn't that true? I mean, people in their basement will, they'll type stuff up all the time and hit send. They'd never say that to somebody's face. Article concludes, we are fast becoming a culture of dishonor. That's USA Today, folks. That means, listen, culturally, we're in trouble. We're moving towards dishonor. But the change from that direction won't come from getting another command from culture. It'll change when God's people pick up the cadence that's given by Jesus. And we're called to a cadence of honor. The year was 1972. The town was a small southern city. Sunday morning, that meant that church was pretty segregated. This one man was an usher in his Baptist church, which meant it was an all-white congregation. Sunday morning, 1972, a couple shows up, a young African-American couple shows up for church. The usher greets them the same way he greeted every person that came to worship, with honor and blessing. He took them down to the third row where there were seats available. The auditorium seated 1,500 people. wasn't hardly a seat in the place, but here was two open seats on row three. That usher brought them in and seated them. You could hear a collective gasp as the congregation responded to a black couple in their all-white church coming to worship. When the service was over, there were people approached that usher saying mean things. In fact, they called an emergency meeting of the deacons and asked the pastor to go to him and tell him to resign his position and apologize to the church for seating a black couple in their all-white congregation when he should have told them there's a black church for you down the street. That usher said no. I will not resign my role. I will continue to serve, and I'll continue to honor every person who comes into this house when they come to worship Jesus. That usher was my daddy. Can't take your cues from culture. To be an honoring person requires conviction that comes from Jesus, that teaches us to honor people. Because see, Jesus sends people in your life. And if you honor the people Jesus sends in your life, you honor Jesus. And if you honor Jesus, you honor the Father. And if you honor the Father, you move what's in his heart to his hand. So let's be honoring people. Now, if you're going to practice honor, you got to make sure and go beyond being passive. Because some of us are going to go, well, I'm honoring because I don't dishonor anybody. That's passive. To be honoring, you're going to have to put some effort into it. And effort sometimes is random, and it can be casual, and it can be of the moment, it can be simple things. Stepping back and letting somebody else go in first instead of you. I'm on a personal mission. I want to restore the hand in driving. Because here's the thing. When I let someone in traffic, back up and let somebody in, I want to see the hand. When I don't see the hand, I'm thinking, bruh, you didn't see that gap I created for you? Give me some hand. And so I'm always looking for opportunities to give the hand. So the effort can be random and casual and just in the moment, but there's also times, listen, it takes some planning to be honoring, effort to be honoring. So here's two questions to take with you. One is, where can I be honoring this week? Come on, let's not put this off. Let's not tuck this away. Let's put some rubber to the road. This week, where can you be honoring this week? Second question, who can you honor this week? Process those questions. Invite Jesus to help you put forward some effort. And let's go be honoring. In Jesus' name.